Welcome into the show on this Wednesday afternoon. It is Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm Ryan Porth, in for Jared Stillman this afternoon, alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. And Floyd, we've been talking a whole lot of Marcus Mariota over the last hour, ever since Mike Vrabel, after practice, said that Marcus Mariota is, quote, about the same. Marcus Mariota said he feels like he's getting better. Of the two, I would probably trust Marcus Mariota's word over Mike Vrabel, because Mike Vrabel has been very coach speak early on in his Titans tenure. But that's neither here nor there, because Marcus Mariota, after saying he was getting better, had some quotes where you feel like he's not comfortable at all holding a football, gripping a football, and throwing a football. Yeah.
And then they asked him about the glove, and there was another one. I'm just trying to find something that's comfortable. I'm going, none of that sounds like we're getting better.
No, the picture on Twitter of the glove that you're talking about, his index finger and middle finger are not in the glove, and then the ring finger and the pinky finger are gloved. So I don't know, Floyd.
I don't know either. I mean, it sounds like he's got – just from that, you know, the glove, sounds like he's got strength in his thumb and his index and his next finger, and then those other two are kind of slow to come along.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would explain how his throws in Miami on those two interceptions got away from him, right? Not being able to have a full grip of the ball. I mean, it was obvious, because it was after he took that hit, he threw those two bad interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, I that would certainly be a reason. I don't know what – I don't know how severe – I mean, I don't know if you just hit that and it goes numb and stays numb until it comes around, or if you hit it and it maybe tingles, and then the more you go, it gets a little bit, you know, and now it goes numb, and I just don't know how those things work.
All I know is, as a Titans fan, I'm worried still about Marcus Mariota, and I'm losing trust in him being the franchise quarterback for this team. We brought up stats last hour, the fact that Marcus Mariota, in a possible 50 games with the Tennessee Titans, he's only completed 39 of them. That's 78%, and most franchise quarterbacks are 90% or above.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get that injury-prone label sooner or later, especially if this lingers on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no way he can avoid it, and shouldn't, you know, at that rate. I mean, you're only playing 75% of the games, and everybody else is playing 85 or 90. Yeah, there's an issue.
Let's go to Alan. Alan's been waiting patiently to talk about Marcus Mariota. Alan, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Thanks, guys. Hey, I wanted to call in and discuss two things. One, the first thing is Marcus Mariota is one of the youngest starters in NFL history. He ranks in 12th as far as starters in NFL history since 1970. One of his top 10 teammates, honestly, is Jameis Winston, who was 21 years old as well when they got their first start. Of those youngest starters ever, some include Alex Smith, Matt Stafford, and some other quarterbacks, too, that I also think just took some time to develop. In a lot of ways, I think the Titans were blessed that they had someone come in so young who could immediately be the face of the franchise and start games for us, especially when we consider what he did at 22 and winning his first playoff game at 23. I definitely think he's seen some regression, but I think that speaks more to what's going on with the NFL. I noticed a lot of the guys you mentioned off the top of your list, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, all those guys are in the same system 5 to 10 years, sat for a while, or developed some other place. My main point is, essentially, we don't know what we have in Marcus. And as far as people labeling him, I think, honestly, if he goes somewhere else, I could see him succeeding for the long term. I just think it takes time to invest and create a quarterback. Now, as far as consistency, the most consistent quarterbacks you'll find, as far as health-wise, this current generation, are Blake Bortles and Dak Prescott, two guys who the national media hates and we hear pitchforks for all the time. But as far as it goes, I think those are the most consistent players. And if they're going to stick with those franchises, they're going to have success in the long term. And I think Marcus is way ahead of where those guys are.
Thanks.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, thanks, Alan, for the call. The one thing that I'll say to that, you know, he says we don't really know what we have yet in Marcus Mariota with the Titans. We don't know yet what we have in Marcus Mariota because he can't stay on the field consistently.
Well, yeah, the two things that are happening here is he's every year or two, we're changing systems, and everybody gets excited about him adapting to the new system. Well, if you're not out there all the time, we don't ever get to see how you adapt to the news.
Right.
You know, we're constantly making excuses. It'll be like, okay, there'll be a point in time where maybe you don't play well, and he'll say, you know, I'm just getting accustomed to it. Well, all that's probably true. You know, you haven't played, here were two games, you played half a game. But if you're not out on the field, that will continue to be true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't, there's nothing that coaches or anybody short of doctors can do to fix that. And that's where I think it gets frustrating, because we seem to have gone back, over the last two or three years, we've gone back and forth between, you know, he's not getting enough practice in the system. He's not getting enough time to work with his receivers. He's not getting the individual valuable time with each guy that he needs to get. And then he's hurt all the time. You know, I mean, he's injury prone. So, I mean, the two go hand in hand. But the truth is, you're not going to solve any of those problems unless you can be on the field every day.
Right.
You know, you got to be there.
In 2015, his rookie year, he suffered knee injuries against Miami in a home game, and then a road game at New England kept him from playing in four games as a rookie. And then his sophomore year, everything was going fantastic. It was the surprise season for the Tennessee Titans. They were on the doorstep of possibly making the playoffs. In week 16 down in Jacksonville, suffers the freak broken leg, and he's out for the final game of the season in week 17, and that basically knocks him out of his offseason program.
Entire offseason.
The entire offseason.
As rehabbing. A matter of fact, into camp.
Yeah. And then last year, suffers the hammy injury, and he misses the game in Miami, and he never was 100% most of the way the rest of the regular season. He wins a playoff game, which is fantastic. Then he comes back this season in week one and suffers this freak elbow injury.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to trust him as a franchise quarterback if he can't consistently be on the field on top of having to learn new offenses.
Yeah, I mean, if you just were learning a new offense, that would be enough reason to say, okay, we're not where we need to be, we understand that, but we'll get better, and by week four or whatever week, then we should be full speed ahead and go. But if you're missing all this time, you know, in addition to time off that we got in camp and missing preseason games and all of that, well, you know, you never get caught up. You can't do it. There's not enough hours, not enough practice time.
On Twitter, I see people labeling Marcus as soft. I wouldn't say he's soft, Floyd.
No.
I think Parker from A Christmas Story said it best.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
He's fragile. He's not Italian. Marcus Mariota is Hawaiian, and he's fragile. Like I hate saying it as a Titans fan. I hate it, Floyd. But it's proving yet again that he can't stay on the field. You know how people were up in arms after the third preseason game against Pittsburgh?
Right.
How there was a short leash on the offense in week two against Tampa and week three against Pittsburgh in the preseason games. And everybody wanted them to stay on the field and have more reps within the offense. I was not one of them because I didn't want to see Marcus get hurt in the preseason. And then sure enough, he goes out there in week one in Miami and he gets hurt.
Right.
I can't trust him to stay healthy and be on the field. And you have to do both of those if you want to be a franchise quarterback.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't deny that at all. And that's why I think everybody's hoping that, all right, we're going to get past this thing tomorrow, the next day, Sunday, he's going to go out and play, and everything, he'll play well and all of that, and we'll be done with this for the rest of the year.
Absolutely.
That's what we're hoping.
Oh, I'm praying.
Yes.
I'm praying. I want to see number eight out there as soon as possible, but I want him to be healthy. I don't want him to be thrown in a situation where he's not going to succeed.
Right.
I would hate to see him go out there in Jacksonville this Sunday and everything looks good in the next couple practices, and then the strumming of the guitar happens again in his elbow and he can't throw it past 15 yards.
Yeah.
And he's throwing ducks out there like Peyton Manning did in his last year in the league.
Yeah.
I would hate to see that for Marcus.
I would too. And we don't, I mean, you know, we're hoping all this straightens itself out so we can get back to normal.
So Marcus Mariota did practice today. Mike Vrabel said he was, quote, about the same. Marcus Mariota says he is getting better but is frustrated by the process of this freak injury, this mystery elbow injury, where a nerve is not allowing him to grip the ball and throw the ball like he wants to. Also in practice, Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin, they were both limited, but they were on the field, and they're getting closer.
That's good news.
So that is good news.
Yep.
That would be huge for that offensive line Sunday against Jacksonville. That would be monstrous.
Perfect timing, too.
To have those two back on the field and playing, if that is the case, if they continue to improve as the practice week goes along. 615-737-1025. More on Marcus Mariota coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. This is Jared and GM, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming on the Game Nashville app.
What's getting better? But, yeah, it is frustrating. You know, it is hard because it's one of those things, like, you can't really do a whole lot. It'll kind of calm down and feel better as it wants to. That being said, though, it is getting better, and you know, I'm glad I was able to be out there today. The way that they explain it to me, it's like when you strum a guitar string. When that string settles down, that's kind of similar to how my nerve is. My nerve's kind of been strummed, and it's going to take its time to settle down.
Quarterback Marcus Mariota after practice today, talking about the nerve in his elbow that is keeping him from gripping, throwing, and holding a football like he would like to, which is fairly concerning that
it's
10 days after the injury was suffered, he's still having some issues with it. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman on your drive home this Wednesday afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. We've been talking a lot of Marcus Mariota. If you're just getting in the car, Mike Vrabel said he was about the same. You heard Marcus Mariota right there saying he feels like he's getting better but is still frustrated. On the positive side, Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin were both limited today, but they were limited. They were on the field, and it sounds like they are getting closer to coming back, whether that's Sunday in Jacksonville is still unknown, but it is still unknown whether or not Marcus Mariota will play Sunday in Jacksonville or when this is all going to cure itself, this nerve injury in his elbow. I would think every Titans fan hopes that he wakes up tomorrow morning and the strumming of the guitar is gone.
Yes, the fairy dropped a little fairy dust.
The fairy dust on the right elbow.
The elbow and fixed it.
But the reality is we have no idea. And it's certainly frustrating, once again, talking about an injury to Marcus Mariota instead of on-field production of Marcus Mariota at this stage in his career.
And I think, you know, this all stems – I mean, it's like when he broke his ankle and Carr broke his ankle, same weekend. And then, you know, 3 months ahead of Marcus, Carr was running, practicing. Marcus couldn't even run then. Now, come to find out, I guess he had a bunch of plates and screws and whatnot put into it that we really didn't know, that I guess Carr maybe didn't have. But it's still, you know, in your mind, you're saying, wait a minute, they got hurt the same day, and one of them is running, and one, you know, can't even walk hardly. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, you see that, and you go, well, how does that happen? Why did that happen? And I think this is kind of the same thing. You know, all of a sudden, it's something that none of us know about. Is very, very uncommon, and nobody has an answer for it. You know, well, when's it going to be better? Well, he's going to wake up one morning, it's going to be, what?
That could be tomorrow, that could be next month.
Yeah, I mean, what if that's in March?
Oh, boy.
You know, can't we get it fixed some way? It seems like there ought to be some way, something.
Joe Rexroad is going to join us at 4:30. He was out of practice today. We'll get his opinions and thoughts on everything Marcus Mariota and all things Tennessee Titans. Here's what I will say before we go back to the phones, Floyd, is it's almost been like a roller coaster with Marcus Mariota here with the Tennessee Titans in his early NFL career.
Right.
His first game at Tampa Bay, perfect passer rating. He was incredible. Everyone on Twitter, myself included, was inducting him into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, he was that awesome in week one against Tampa Bay, right?
Right.
And then we see some inconsistency his rookie year, and then he lights it up against Jacksonville late in his rookie year, and you're thinking, you know, this is something positive to hold on to going into his second year. And his second year was phenomenal. I mean, he was awesome in his second year when the Titans were on the doorstep of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And week 16 at Jacksonville, you've said it, the broken leg that he suffered, it's almost like the balloon popped on the entire season. All the good feels that we were having in November and December around that team were gone in that instant on Christmas Eve. That ruined my Christmas, Floyd, as a Titans fan.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that was devastating to see. I mean, all this hope, the comeback win in Kansas City the week before with the Ryan Suckup field goal, and then poof, gone the season. Marcus Mariota's injury. And then last year, inconsistent. You keep waiting to see him get going, and it wasn't happening, and then they make the playoffs, and then boom. He leads them to a comeback win in Kansas City on Wild Card weekend. And then Matt LaFleur gets hired, and all these big hopes on a great offense. And then, poof, week one, this mystery elbow injury that, you know, we've seen David Chow, the Pro Football Doc, say that it's likely a nerve injury, and we've heard Marcus Mariota talk about it earlier today, describe it. And it's just this roller coaster with Marcus Mariota.
Well, and the hard part about it is, again, I mean, first of all, I mean, I want to say he played 40 snaps in preseason, 40 snaps of a new offense that, you know, they weren't showing to begin with. So now you're into the regular season. And he had, I don't know how many snaps he had before he got hurt, but certainly couldn't have been many. And now we're going into the third game again, and we still have – yet we have yet to see him operate this offense, you know, to go out there and say, okay, I can see it. I know what it is. I believe it. I mean, you know, the best output we had was when Gabbert's playing, and that's, you know, that's not good enough.
No.
I mean, it worked, and more power to him, but, I mean, you're not going to win many games doing that.
Not at all.
I mean, he's got to get back and get in some kind of rhythm with what this offense is.
Let's go to Sean, who has been waiting patiently to talk about Marcus Mariota. Sean, welcome into Jared and the GM.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
There's a lot to talk about, so I'll try and make it quick. I've just got a couple quick points. The thing that worries me the most about Mariota isn't necessarily his injury proneness as it is that he'll be behind the learning curve. It's one thing to have a veteran quarterback that's been in the league 5, 6, 7 years, veteran starting quarterback, and they get injured, and pretty much all you're waiting for is for them to physically get healthy so that they can pick up where they left off. Well, he's been injured every year since he's gotten here, and this is the time where he's supposed to be learning the most, I would assume. And, you know, when he does get physically healthy, he's going to have that much to make up, because he doesn't know everything. He doesn't know these new offenses. And having said that, I'm a huge Marcus fan. But even more than that, I'm a Titans fan. And point two is, if there's any chance that we're going to be having this conversation in a year or two, let's cut him now. Cut him at the end of this year, because I would rather that happen than us be talking about this next year or the year after. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Sean, for the call.
Yeah. I mean, I understand his frustration, and I know what he's saying. And at some point in time, somebody's going to have to make a decision on all this. And I don't envy J-Rob or Vrabel or whoever it is that's going to make that decision, because, I mean, the way it's going right now, it's going to be a really, really hard decision. So I don't know. But it's, you know, again, you just hate with a young quarterback to give up. You know, you want to give him a caller called a minute ago and said, you know, it takes time for some of these guys to come. And it does. And we all understand that. And we've been preaching that. And I don't think, you know, the hardest part is that all of the time that it's going to take for him to try to hone his skills as a quarterback, all of that's being hindered because it's hard to stay on the field.
Right.
You know, it's hard to... You think in his 4 years, I mean, he's completely missed an offseason. He's completely missed a camp. You know, he's missed 25% of the games he's played in. I mean, it's hard to get good at doing something if you're not doing it every single day. So I don't know. It's a catch 22.
To get back to the stat that you're referencing to earlier in the show, stated that of the 50 possible games that Marcus Mariota could have played in as quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, he has only completed 39 of them. He has started 43. He's only completed 39 of them. That's 78%. Other franchise quarterbacks around the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, 90%. Tom Brady, 92%. Drew Brees with the Saints, 99%. Big Ben, who has been dinged up his entire career but still finds ways to be in there most Sundays, 89%. Steve McNair with the Titans was 85%. I mean, Russell Wilson is asked to use his legs to extend plays, right? I mean, he is a mobile quarterback. He has never missed a start. Phillip Rivers is as stationary as it gets. He has never missed a start. So all these franchise quarterbacks are at 85% or higher. Most of them are 90% or higher. And you can't trust a franchise quarterback who can't complete a fifth of the games that he plays in.
Yeah, you can't become a franchise quarterback.
Right.
You know, when you're missing a fifth of the games.
Right, and that's all in response to Ken on Twitter, who says, asking a quarterback to extend plays or run around is only going to create injuries. Brees, Brady, et cetera, never get injured because they stand in the pocket and are not asked to run. Well, Brady did get hurt in the pocket once upon a time because somebody fell into his leg. And Marcus Mariota's injuries aren't all because of the mobility. It's just...
Yeah, the hard part about all and you can get hurt as a quarterback any place. We know that. The chances are probably less in the pocket versus you running or faking.
True.
Like what Marcus did.
Very fair.
You know, Mark handed it off and was running a fake. Boom, got hit. So we know that's, you know, it looks like that's going to be a part of the game. So, you know, I think you keep that in mind. Do you run that quarterback with Mark? I mean, that play with Marcus? Maybe you don't. You know, maybe we dump that one. Let's try something else.
Yeah.
but, I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that, you know, I mean, he wants to be there. He's doing all he can, all of that. And we're not blaming him. We're not pointing. It's just a fact. It's just a fact that he has a heck of a time staying on the field.
Join ESPN 102.5 The Game's Braden Gall and watch UT take on Florida at Beyond the Edge for our college watch party this Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. That leads up to kickoff between the Vols and Gators. You can enjoy great food and drink specials from Pickers Vodka and Music City Light Beer. Beyond the Edge is located at 112 South 11th Street in East Nashville. Coming up next, Joe Rexroad, columnist for the Tennessean, was out at practice today. We'll get his thoughts on Marcus Mariota, Jack Conklin, Taylor Lewan, and all things Preds. Coming up next, I'm Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman alongside the GM Floyd Reese. ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.
Well, it's getting better. But, yeah, it is frustrating. You know, it is hard because it's one of those things, like, you can't really do a whole lot. It'll kind of calm down and feel better as it wants to. That being said, though, it is getting better, and you know, I'm glad I was able to be out there today. The way that they explained it to me, it's like when you strum a guitar string. When that string settles down, that's kind of similar to how my nerve is. My nerve's kind of been strummed, and it's going to take its time to settle down.
That was Marcus Mariota earlier this afternoon discussing his elbow injury. He did practice today. So did Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin. The two tackles were limited but are inching closer to returning. But joining us now is Tennessean columnist Joe Rexroad, good friend of the show. Joe, thanks as always for joining us this afternoon.
Good to be with you guys. How you doing?
Good. What did you make of what Marcus had to say about his injury and how he described it?
Well, it was very Music City appropriate, for sure. But I think that was, yeah. I mean, that was a very interesting description, and you can kind of, you know, get a feel for that. You know, the sort of just sort of waiting for that nerve to calm down. You know, and you know, the thing is with this is a lot of times it seems like a lot of people who have had things like this, it's like a couple days and boom. And there have been examples of people who, you know, it never quite returns. And that's the scary part about this. You know, there are people, and actually we've got, our Eric Backrack is working on a piece on some of these different examples. With it's just so hard to. It's not like, oh yeah, this is, you know, you're going to get your knee scoped. It's 2 to 4 weeks or whatever. It's ankle, so it's going to be this or that. The nerve stuff is really kind of. It's just hard. There's no real timetable, and they're just. There's such a wide range of possibilities.
Yeah, it seems tricky. Did you see him throw the ball today?
I knew you were going to ask me that. No, I was not out there. I'm a lazy columnist.
Come on, Joe.
You know, I was like shining my putter. You know, but I was out there for interviews, and I did see. You know, I mentioned Eric Bachrach. He was out there, of course, as he is every day, and had some video. And in his opinion, it looked better than a week ago when Mariota was really fluttering the ball. It looked today like there were some passes that had a little more to them. But what does that mean right now, you know, for Sunday? It still seems to me like there would have to be a couple decent-sized steps for the Titans to feel really good about him throwing the ball in this game Sunday.
Well, we would have to almost expect him to go just the opposite of what he did last week, right? Jump out last week Wednesday in practice, and then, you know, it kind of went downhill. So maybe this week we're starting where we are, and by Friday we'll be full speed.
Yeah, it could be. You know, and it seems like that's the thing. I mean, he was saying today, you know, he wakes up and he does, I mean, just like you'd expect. He immediately looks at his hand and squeezes the hand and says, hey, you know, what's going on over there? You know, I mean, every day he's, minute by minute, he's waiting for this to just feel normal again, and it could happen. I mean, it really could. He could wake up, and it could be absolutely like, nope, you're good. You know, so, I mean, that's, like, I asked him about treatment, you know, and they're doing some stuff, but it just doesn't seem like treatment is even really a big factor here. It's just sort of like, well, let's just wait, and at some point it should, you know, be better. But, yeah, it's just, you know, you're right, Floyd. You would hope, of course, that it would be a steady progress or something like that this week. But I almost feel like it's more like, when does the big eureka moment happen?
Mm-hmm. Did you get any kind of a feel for Lawan and Conklin?
I mean, I would say, you know, there's one last, I guess, you know, hurdle for Lawan, but I feel pretty confident that he's going to play Sunday. I would expect Lawan out there. Conklin's still a tough one, doing a little bit more. You know how it is. I mean, big guy with an injury like that, and once he's in.
Right.
And you wonder, too, I mean, I shouldn't say this. I was going to say you wonder, too, if it's related at all to Dennis Kelly, who's still not at the facility. You know, he had the illness last week, which just made for just some incredible circumstances for this game. But I don't think that. I mean, you know, Conklin is going to be when it's absolutely certain he's ready, he's going. But, you know, if they can get Lawan and Kelly, then, hey, I mean, they can do a lot more stuff and have a whole different game plan for this game, you know, than they had to have against the Texans.
Joe, is there any kind of a happiness there, refreshing, whatever it might be for Gabbert? I mean, is he, you know, showing a new light now?
Yeah, that's a good question, Floyd. I think there is, you know, I think all along, you know, Gabbert has impressed people with the way he prepares and the way he approaches things. I mean, Mariota was talking today about, and you think of Mariota as the guy who's, you know, not going to leave any stone unturned and is going to watch every shred of film and, you know, be as prepared as he can. He was talking about Gabbert as a guy who motivates him to be as prepared as possible. So, you know, Blaine Gabbert's one of those guys, one of those many guys, and really most guys who get picked high and don't live up to that. But he's hung around in the league, and he is a guy who, well, we saw all through camp, there are throws he'll make, and you'll be like, ooh, and that's like a throw that not a ton of guys in the league can make with that kind of velocity. I mean, he has a big arm. So I do think that there's some happiness for him and some security in him. I mean, let's face it, this was an upgrade from Matt Cassel. He's won a one game, and even though he didn't do a lot, I mean, there were three or four throws, especially that throw to Tajay Sharp, but also a throw to Stocker, that, you know, once they fell behind, you kind of thought, well, okay, that was a great game plan. They got the most out of it, but now they're done. And instead, he led those two field goal drives. So I think there's some growing confidence from him and in him, because I didn't think he played very well in the preseason. I was surprised after watching him in practice at how he played in some of those preseason games.
Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean with us here on Jared and the GM. Joe, speaking of Blaine Gabbert, you had a stock rising, stock falling column, I guess you want to call it, after the Week 2 victory over Houston on Sunday. And Blaine Gabbert you listed as stock rising, but you also had Derrick Henry. And his stats didn't really jump out at you, but running the Wildcat, I guess, you know, so effectively as he did Sunday, made you put Derrick Henry in the stock rising category.
Yeah, and I mean, it's rising from, you know, after week one, you're kind of watching, you know, it's of course a week to week thing, and it, you kind of, after week one, you're like, oh, Deion Lewis is just, he's going to end up getting more reps, isn't he? You know, like he just looks better in this offense. Although, well, let's face it, Derrick Henry had a, whatever that was, 65-yard TD run wiped, and he looked awfully good on that play. But I just thought he did a better job of getting north-south and getting 3 yards, you know, when there were 3 yards to get. Go get those 3-4 yards, whether it was in the Wildcat or, you know, I think the first play of the game was an outside zone run that he really put his head down and battered someone and got. I mean, that's the thing with him, man. If he can just, you know, try to approach it more like a power runner. I mean, he's an incredible home run hitter, just a specimen of a very rare, you know, combination of abilities, you know, in that size. But he's got to be more of a power back. And I thought he took a step in that direction on Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, it was stock up from, you know, a week one that was largely disappointing, I thought. You know, but I mean, those guys, both of those guys, I think it can be a really good combo. I think we've seen that. And in a game like this, to me, I mean, both of those guys have got to play really well to have a chance, because you have to run the ball to have a chance against Jacksonville.
Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean has been our guest. Joe, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks again, and we'll see how it all plays out on Sunday.
Okay, guys, great talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Derrick Henry, he mentioned it there that, you know, Derrick Henry was able to get 3 or 4 yards when needed on Sunday. I still scratch my head over the fact that he wasn't in there on 3rd and 1 late in the game. That could have completely iced the game with a last-second field goal from Ryan Succop. Instead, they gave the ball to Deion Lewis. He couldn't get that yard. They kicked the field goal with time left. That gave Houston opportunity to come back in either tire to win the game.
You know, head-scratcher was that they'd run a quarterback sneak, I want to say twice, and converted. And they'd given it to Derrick twice and converted.
Yeah.
You know, so there were a couple of options there other than Deion. But, you know, I think Vrabel kind of took the hit for that. Now, somebody else will get a hit later on, but he took it yesterday. But I will agree with Joe from this standpoint. I think that Derrick was willing to go out and do the dirty work this last week. I mean, I think in his mind, he's saying, all right, you know, I'm going to finish this game beaten and battered and bruised, and I'm going to average 3 yards a carry, and I'm going to this and that and the other. But in this game, that's going to be my job. And I think he kind of understood that and really went out and performed it pretty well.
To go with the theme of Joe Rexroad's column in the Tennessean, whose stock is up and whose stock is down for the Tennessee Titans through 2 games of the regular season? We will get into that next. This is Jared and the GM live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman, alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show, Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm Ryan Porth, filling in for Jared Stillman this afternoon. He will be back tomorrow alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, we will be getting back to Marcus Mariota here in a little bit, but Joe Rexroad had a column after Sunday's game with stock rising and stock falling, and that kind of triggered the idea. I blatantly stole it from Joe, so thank you and sorry to Joe. for stealing his idea, and thank you for the idea, of whose stock is up and whose stock is down through two games for the Tennessee Titans. In your opinion, Floyd, whose stock is up compared to where you thought it was to start the season?
I actually have two guys.
Okay.
That I think have been kind of silently performing pretty darn well.
All right. Who's number one?
Lewis.
Okay.
I think, especially in the first game, but even in this game, he went in and, you know, pretty much does a yeoman's job. You know, I think they have to be a little bit smarter maybe about when they use him, how they use him, and I'm sure they will. But, you know, in a couple of weeks or during a couple of weeks where we really haven't gotten a ton of production in the run game, he's been a little bit of a pleasant surprise, if you will.
And his stats won't jump out at you. 30 carries for 117 yards. He does have the touchdown that he secured in Miami. He was also a threat in the passing game in Miami.
Right.
Only one catch, 1 yard against Houston.
Yeah. And the other guy for me is Woodyard.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he has really, I think he's played well for 2 weeks and really played well for longer than that. And he's one of those guys that just nobody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just goes out there. I was messing around with his stats this morning. I think he's like fifth in the NFL in tackles. We don't even talk about him. You know? Nobody ever brings his name up.
You know how Tom Brady on the sidelines in Jacksonville Sunday was yelling, "Do your job"?
Yeah.
All Wesley Woodyard does
every day,
game in and game out, is he does his job.
Do your job. That's right.
Absolutely. My stock up. Number one would be the young pass rushers. I would say Harold Landry and Kamele Correa. Kamele Correa, for what they gave up to Baltimore, which was what, a six-round pick to Baltimore to get Kamele Correa, he has two sacks in two games. And, you know, he's not setting the world on fire, but in the role that he's in, he's making a difference.
I'll tell you what, too, in my opinion, he's got, this is just me, a little, he's more sudden than maybe both Arakpo and Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the ball snapped, I mean, he's on you in a second.
Right.
And he is going as fast as he absolutely can go.
And Harold Landry is pretty darn quick around the edge, too. And he didn't show up in his NFL debut on the stat sheet Sunday in, against Houston.
Right.
But he was definitely a factor.
Yeah. And he's really been for – he's one of those guys we were talking about earlier for the limited amount of time we've seen him play. He's flashed. You know, you see enough every time after every game, you see enough of him, and maybe it's not necessarily how many sacks to get or how many times to knock the quarterback down, but you see him enough that after every game you go, geez, I'd like to see some more of him. You know, he's good enough that that he needs to be playing more snaps.
My number two guy, stock up, Corey Davis. I do like the fact that Matt LaFleur is trying to force the ball to Corey Davis in some situations, whether that's coming – well, it could be Matt LaFleur. It could be Blaine Gabbert just looking for Corey Davis because Corey Davis has been, I mean, the only wide receiver who's been consistent in the first 2 weeks. And if you take his first 2 weeks of production, he would be on pace for nearly 1,000 yards, which if he continues to improve as the season goes along and stays healthy – then I think we have some. I think we're cooking with gas at that point with Corey Davis.
And I like the fact. I really like the fact that he's gone into these games and not. You know, we haven't seen the 80 yard yet, but you know that's coming. But it's been, you know, 4, 5, 6 catches every week, and he pulls. I think this week it was what, 5 catches for 55 yards or something along those lines.
Yep.
And the point is that he's going out there and it's not, you know, one flash and see you later. You know, it's I'm going to be here and keep throwing the ball to me and all the big plays will come with him. I mean, I'm confident in that, but it's nice that he has been healthy and that he's been able to be out there and be productive on a certain level every game.
Who was it, Kareem Jackson, who he stiff-armed into the earth?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a wicked stiff
arm. That was. He's a big, strong man.
And when he caught that pass, I think it was in the fourth quarter, he ended up fumbling at the end of the play. Corey, hold on to the ball. But you could see him as the old Chiefs coach, Hank Stram would say, matriculating the ball down the field. You could see him zigzagging his way, and I'm there on the couch saying, go, Corey, go, go. No, don't fumble the ball.
But
Corey Davis through two games, I think, has been a flash of what we want to see from him on a consistent basis.
Exactly. You want him to be your number one guy, and he's got the ability to go deep. He's got the ability to run the underneath patterns. He's got the ability to catch it and run. And my only thought when he fumbled, I used to have a coach, and his belief was, and truly believe this, he goes, the only guys that fumble are the guys that run really, really hard. And that's what I thought I was seeing from Corey. I mean, Corey was trying to make a play that not very many guys can make. And when you try that hard and you're going that hard and, you know, you get hit the wrong way, sometimes that thing happens. All right. I don't like it, but it did.
No, yeah. Very quickly, stock down. Who are your players that you're looking at that need to improve? Their stock has fallen in the first two games of the year.
Yeah, I think the stock has fallen on Butler. Not necessarily in my eyes, but I think people look at the couple of big plays that he's given up. The biggest play for me was the touchdown that Hopkins caught that he had and should have plastered him and didn't. Mm-hmm. And he caught it like on the 5 or 7, kind of turned around and dove in the end zone for a touchdown. That was the one that ticked me off. The two plays that he's gotten beaten on in the two games, he was right there. I mean, in both of them, you know, he's a fingertip away. And if you're playing man for man like he was, I mean, sometimes those things are going to happen. But I think generally people would look at Butler and say, hey, he's got to play better for us.
Well, and I know corners are going – they're going to get burned at right. some point. Unless you are the elite of the elite, you are going to get burned at some point. I don't like the frequency of how he's getting burned, not only in the preseason but now in the regular season.
Yeah.
I understand your point, but he also doesn't look like a $60 million cornerback out there.
And I think the problem he's going to run into is just that. When he was making minimum salary, he got beat. Everybody went, hey, he's minimum salary
undrafted.
Guy. Yeah. But now he's making $60 million, and people are saying, that's not what you expect from a $60 million guy.
Who else is on your stock down list?
The other guy for me has got to be Marcus. I mean, okay. Yeah, I think that's kind of a slam dunk.
Yeah, we've talked so much Marcus today. I would agree with you on Marcus and Butler. I'll throw another one in there. Where is Rishard Matthews?
Yeah.
Two catches in two games. I know he's coming off a knee injury, but he's been a complete non-factor when you need him to be a factor without Delanie Walker.
And the part that has always been interesting about him is in the games he's played in the past, after the game was over, you can always remember a play or two that he made that really helped you. You know, maybe not special, not 80 yarders, but a good catch and a good route and a good. And I mean, heck, he's not even getting targeted anymore. You know, I don't know. I don't know what his health issue is. I don't know if, again, because he hasn't been through this system, he's learning the system, and it's taking him a little bit longer than we expect. Or if, because it's been so long since he's really practiced and worked out, he may just be in rotten shape. I don't know. Which of those it might be.
Coming up next, Mike Vrabel and Marcus Mariota both spoke today after practice talking about Marcus Mariota's injury. He was on the field. So was Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin. Jack Conklin and Taylor Lewan were both limited. But Marcus Mariota, the elbow injury, everybody's talking about it. You guys can't stop calling in about it. So we will hear from Mike Vrabel and Marcus Mariota coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM Floyd Reese. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.